I wasn't looking.
Look at that. Look how that's jumping up there.
I didn't look at it.
Oh, is that a new theme song?
That's a fresh new rhyme.
Is that a fresh new beat?
Yeah, that's a fresh one. I know you like them fresh.
I do like them fresh.
So,
hey, this is like in Ghostbusters 2 when they were like, we're back!
And they put up the two.
We're back!
The ghost had the two.
The AF logo has the two on it now.
With P. It's
peace. Got the peace sign.
It's a peace sign plus it's
peace sign.
The sequel. It's two.
Hey, we're back. You know we had a little time off, but now we're back.
But now we're back.
It was that whole 100 episode thing.
What did you do? Forget about us?
It was just like...
You know, we did, what, 101?
I think we did 100.
We didn't do one
this
after?
This is 101 right now.
This is 101? That's...
Yeah. That's a lot to ask of anybody.
That's one more than anybody needs to do.
Plus, I mean, we don't even count like the little special mini ones and the.
So we're well.
We're well past.
We're
that.
Well within our rights to just.
I don't
quit
think anybody
right now and give up.
Should have expected another episode immediately after the last episode.
101.
They should have known that there was a wait involved. Bill Tackett, he felt the need for action features.
We were just like,
you know what? Calm down, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
you get
whoa.
It when you get it.
I would just say,
but not really. We're excited that he was excited about having another.
Go
episode.
Back and listen to some reruns. That's what you have to do with Seinfeld.
You got a whole catalog. You can go through. Yeah,
there's 100 episodes plus.
I don't remember
extras.
Anything past the last two episodes.
Yeah,
all those episodes new to me. I have no idea what we did in any of them.
You can go back and.
I'm constantly thinking of stuff that we could do on the show, and I'm like, hey, this would be cool to do an episode on this. And I'll ask Blaze about it. And be like, yeah, you already did that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's the only one that actually knows.
The upside is that you were right. It would have been cool to do it.
It would have been cool, but we already did it.
But
it was cool. But we're back, and this is going to be a random episode.
Very random.
It's going to be super random. We think it won't be a super long one, but it'll probably end up being a long one.
It
Who
will.
Knows?
You know it will be.
Should we talk about the next episode now, or wait until closer to the end of the show?
Let's announce it now so that if anybody shuts this off.
They know. Good idea. The next episode, tentatively, it should be... Zach Oat from Diamond Select Toys will be on the show. And they're responsible for the Marvel Select lines, the Universal Monster Select lines, Ghostbusters Select, Nightmare Before Christmas, tons of Select action figure lines, and then also stuff like the Mini Mates and you know the kitchenware that Diamond Select does. But we're mostly going to talk about the Select figure lines. And Zach was also the editor at Toy Fair, so we're going to talk a little bit about his Toy Fair days.
Remember Toy Fair magazine?
Oh, so much fun Toy Fair was. And so if you have any questions for Zach Oat about his days at Toy Fair or Select Figures or Robot Chicken, any of those things, post them on the Facebook page and we'll try and work them into the talk we're going to have with him in
yes.
the next episode.
That's a good idea.
I think it's going to be a fun episode.
Zach Oat.
I love a lot of those Select lines. I think they're really cool.
I love Oats.
You love Oats? You love guys named Zach, you know?
I love
like the Lego Maniac.
Hall & Oates.
Yeah. You like Zach Morris.
Yeah.
So
every all
that covers
my,
all the bases.
All of my favorite things.
All your favorite things.
Right there.
Are Zach and Oates.
One stop.
So that's going to be next episode. So please interact on the Facebook page, facebook.com/actionfeatures, and let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about with Zach when he's on with the next episode. Okay. So this episode.
Pretty
random things.
Pretty random.
Pretty random. You want to start it off? Or you want me to
start well, first, off? I want to say I brought a couple snack foods.
You brought a whole bag.
I was hungry, I have to admit.
I can see that.
I stopped at Dollar...
I can see something in that
I stopped
bag.
At Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't
How much did you spend there?
Okay. $4.
So you got four things.
One of them is these packs of gum.
That's good. I won't have any of that right now.
Okay. Everything in there is a dollar.
It's a Dollar Tree.
It doesn't matter. Nothing. There's no prices on everything because everything is just a dollar. So I got, okay, some Snickers bites, okay?
Why not?
I thought a Snickers sounded good.
They satisfy.
We're talking about potato skins.
That's what I just saw. Jalapeno cheddar. But those are going to be good.
Potato skins that are real.
They got baked potato appeal.
Baked potato appeal.
Baked potato appeal.
These are from TGI Fridays. They don't
Jalapeno
make the others.
Jalapeno cheddar.
Okay, so there's the salty, okay? And the
baked
sweet.
Potato appeal.
Now here's the...
Those are made with potatoes. The skins that are real.
Queen. Those are guaranteed the queen.
Queen. The queen of potatoes. The potato queen that all the other potatoes work for. The potato hive. When you get a big potato, you know you've got the queen. The queen potato. All eyes are on the queen. Potato eyes. Because they have eyes.
Yeah.
Potatoes do.
Spud royalty. All right,
King
me. Dick me. Okay, so you know the Dollar Tree is not going to have Little Debbie's.
You know they're not going to.
You know they're not going to.
They had these TGI Fridays brand potato skins, though.
But Fridays...
They're not like TGI Thursdays.
Yeah, that is something. So instead of oatmeal cream pies from Little Debbie, I have Mrs. Freshly's...
Oatmeal cremes.
Delicious deals. Oatmeal creams.
She's Little Debbie's next door neighbor. Mrs. Freshly. She's peering in the windows at the recipes. Jotting them down.
I hesitated for a second, and when I saw the name.
What's that Debbie up to these days?
When I saw the name Mrs. Freshly's, I had to get it. I have no idea if these are going to be any good at all.
Snack away, it says on the back.
Yeah.
Snack away, go ahead.
The country's got an obesity Snack problem.
Away. I can tell you right now, the consistency does not look the same as a Little Debbie.
No, it doesn't. Snack away.
I'm going to snack away. I don't know if I want to have this first or the potato skins first, though.
I'm going to eat one of these right now. All right, you can open the potato. We can open both.
Well, if you're going to do this first, I'll do this first, too.
I like to chase some sweet with a salty.
The package is thicker than a Little Debbie cellophane.
Well, they want to make sure it stays fresh.
I can tell you what, the consistency is not the same. It's just like two doughy oatmeal cookies.
Mrs. Freshly's couldn't...
Some odd powder stuff in the middle.
Powder?
It looks powdery.
It was a dollar for an entire box of eight.
I bet it's still going to be good. Oops. Yours is on the floor. Did it stay in the wrapper?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you know it did.
Good.
It's because of the extra thick wrapper.
Extra Freshly.
All right, this smells like...
I can smell these. It smells good.
It smells good.
Yeah.
It smells like an oatmeal cookie. It's no Little Debbie.
It's not. It's kind of bland. I gotta be honest.
This has probably been there.
She did the best she could. You know?
Well, the name like Mrs. Freshly. I mean, it doesn't have the appeal of Little Debbie.
If this was at a bake sale, I'd be fine with it. You know?
Yeah. Mrs. Freshly is already married. She's got nothing to prove.
It's who knows what her maiden name was?
It could have been Mrs. Bland.
Yeah, it could have been Mrs. Bland.
Miss Bland.
Yeah, Miss Bland.
Miss Oats. It was Miss Oat.
Miss Dry.
Miss Not Enough Cream.
Miss Oldly. Miss Cheaply. Look, we love your snacks, but you got to get married. We can't sell Miss Cheaply oatmeal cremes. Ms. Starchy? This is not going to work. Nobody's got my Ms. Starchy oatmeal cremes. Well, I've had my eye on Mr. Freshly for quite a while.
Maybe you should try and get that going.
Try work it out. Then we'll talk.
If you liked it, then you should have put a cream on it.
Okay. It's pretty dry.
It's dry.
It's pretty dry.
Just add water. You should soak these first.
Ms. Parchley.
All right. You know that these are going to come in handy.
That's rough. That is rough. That's probably drier than potato skins.
There's too much nutmeg or something in here. Now you know these are going to come in handy.
There's nothing else here. We're going to be loving these things.
What a delicious deal. Wow. Mm. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna get.
You're gonna finish this thing?
Yeah, I'm. Why drag it out?
I'm trying, man, but it's tough. That's like eating sandpaper.
The most delicious sandpaper you've ever had.
It's like you can see that there's cream in the middle, but there's no. It's not there.
There's no evidence of it.
It disappears once it gets in your mouth. It's like disappearing ink.
Yeah. The cream melts in your hand, not in your mouth.
Okay.
Or whatever. I got to it.
Alright. That was tough.
I gotta tell you, I think there's a reason these TGI Fridays were at Dollar Tree and you're not picking them up at Kroger. It's not bad. It's not bad.
They're not bad.
It's not what I hoped.
That's not the best, but it's not bad.
Man, the Snickers...
I'm enjoying those more than the...
Oh, yeah. I'll eat more of those. Yeah. No more creams.
All right. First thing I've written down. Did you see this Old Navy Ghostbusters thing?
No. Was it?
Things are getting out of hand, dude.
Yeah, I know
they
that.
They really are.
I know that, but what is it?
So Bobby had seen some Old Navy Ghostbuster shirts for kids.
Oh, I did see this.
You
yes.
saw this?
Yes.
And so I said to her the other night, I'm like, I saw this article where, I'm just going to say it how it is, the feminist movement has taken issue with Old Navy over their new Ghostbuster shirts for kids.
Yeah.
Because the boys' Ghostbuster shirt is a gray shirt with just the logo. Whereas the girls is a pink one with the logo, and it says Ghostbuster in training.
Yeah.
So they took issue with the fact that the girl would have to be in training, but the boy just gets the logo.
Well,
that is a dumb argument.
They did the same thing back with Star Wars. Remember when they had the Star Wars shirt at Target?
Yeah.
And they said Princess Leia, it need to be rescued or something like that.
But that's not, I mean, this is even further than that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the boy's shirt doesn't even say he is a Ghostbuster. It's just the logo.
Right.
The girl's shirt is at least showing that she's becoming a Ghostbuster. All the boy is doing is wearing the logo.
Yeah.
The girl's taking an active role in being a Ghostbuster, but you're taking that away. So now we went back to the look on the site. They're all gone. They've taken them off.
Yeah,
They're not going to have that controversy.
Yeah,
nobody gets Ghostbuster shirts.
Right.
So now I can't go buy my daughter a Ghostbuster shirt because you deemed it as being sexist because it said Ghostbuster in training. That's bullcrap.
How about you let the kid decide if they like
that
or not.
Yeah, you just let them decide if they want to have the shirt or not.
Let the parent decide if they want to their child to
it's
wear
ridiculous.
That or not.
Ridiculous. And I don't blame Old Navy because I wouldn't want to fight this crap either. I'd
right.
be sick of it.
Right.
So it's much easier just to say, you know what, take the shirts off. They're going to throw a fuss
yeah.
about it, take the shirts away. And now you've ruined it for everybody that just wants to go get Ghostbuster shirts for their kids.
Right.
What jerks, man.
Oh, they're not interested.
Always looking for a battle to fight. It's just insane.
Right.
And this is not worth fighting over.
It used to
it's
be
stupid.
It used to be the right to vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all for equality.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
But this is silly.
Yeah, I've heard several people are bringing up like, okay, this used to be about real actual issues,
yeah.
and
now
you're
it's
just you're
being just silly.
Nitpicking.
I've seen Ninja Turtle shirts that say "Ninja in Training."
Yeah.
I didn't ever have an issue with it. If my boys are wearing Ninja Turtle shirts that say Ninja in Training or something.
Right.
That's silly for me to then go, well, are there any girl ones that just say Ninja Turtles on them? Because then that's not fair. Because
right.
now they're saying my boys have to train to be a Ninja Turtle.
Right.
And they get to just be a Ninja Turtle. Are you being serious right now? You know there's no such thing as real Ghostbusters, right?
Right.
There's no such thing.
Right.
So to take issue with the fact of a fictional shirt saying Ghostbuster in Training is insanity.
I've got a question that I don't know. Were they both the same size, and the one wasn't a teen shirt, and the other one was a toddler shirt?
I don't know. All I know is there was a boy's t-shirt and a girl's t-shirt.
Okay.
And the girl's t-shirt was a long-sleeved pink shirt, and the boy's was a short-sleeved t-shirt.
Okay.
And like I said, the boy's only didn't say, I'm a Ghostbuster.
Right.
It just had the logo. And the girl's had the logo with Ghostbuster in Training.
I would just be curious if the girl's shirt was actually for smaller children, and
yeah.
the boy's shirt wasn't.
Exactly.
Then that even makes even more sense than...
But either way,
I don't know.
I mean,
but yeah, it's not. It's a non.
The other one was just a gray T-shirt. You could
right.
easily had a girl wear that shirt as well.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, you can wear T-shirts as a girl.
You can wear whatever shirt you want. What's it matter? It's just insanity, man. Insanity. So that really frustrated me the other night. I was just like, this just sucks, man. It just sucks the world we live in now.
You can't.
You can't do anything without
anything.
Somebody jumping up and saying, "Oh no, that's wrong."
How is
it's
it? How is
argument.
It empowering to limit people's choices?
It's ridiculous. What about a little girl that wants to be a Ghostbuster in training?
Right.
What about her?
Right.
What's
does it
so
not
you're
sound fun to be in training?
Yeah,
I'd
love to be a Ghostbuster in training.
You gotta train to be stuff.
Yeah. At least she's doing something. She's getting active and becoming a Ghostbuster.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
That's silly.
You got something?
Yeah. All right, Churling Tridents is in a Splash remake. I don't know if we talked about this before.
Oh, really?
He's the merman.
Chickling Turpin?
Yeah, he's the
the
merchick.
Oh,
mermaid.
Merman pop.
Right.
Merman.
And this is all I can think of is the Zoolander scene.
Because it's a silly thing.
You know how we feel about remakes, but really, does Splash need to be revisited at all? And can't the company see that this is going to bomb?
Yeah. How well did Ghostbusters do? Not very well. Did we talk about Ghostbusters ever?
No, we never talked about we saw it.
We saw it.
We watched it.
We did watch it.
We didn't go to the theater and see it.
We didn't do that.
We saw it. We had a bootleg.
We went to the theater and saw it. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Yep. We can... I'm not going to go too far into it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk
about
it. But
I will say that everything we thought about it was accurate.
Yeah.
I believe it not only failed as a Ghostbuster movie, it failed as a comedy in general. It was wretched. It wasn't funny at all.
No.
I didn't find myself ever laughing or even thinking something was humorous. It was just bad joke after bad joke. Every character, every single character in the movie had something funny to say. There was never a downtime from the crappy flat jokes.
There was no one to play straight.
Never.
Against anybody. Everybody's...
Everybody was funny. Everybody's got a comedic
silly,
thing to say.
Funny person. So, yeah, it was exactly... It was exactly what was expected.
It was... I mean, I've seen awful movies, and it's way up there on awful movies. I really... I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. If you liked it, and you found something to enjoy in it, that's fine. That's good that you found something to enjoy in it. I can't really understand in my head how anybody could find this movie funny or enjoyable or a good piece of the franchise or contributing something to the Ghostbusters name. I can't see any of those things from my own personal viewing of it. So I'm curious how anybody else could, but if you did, more power to you, and no criticism towards you as a person for viewing it. I'm glad you found something in it. But I found nothing in that film of merit. It was, it was really, really, really hard to watch.
It was a stinker.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Really terrible. I think it was a disservice too to the people in the movie, because I think Kristen Wiig is funny.
Kristen Wiig is funny.
I find Melissa McCarthy funny in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think both of the girls from Saturday Night Live are funny on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But this just felt like a Saturday Night Live skit that went way too long and wasn't funny in the first place. Like, you'll watch Saturday Night Live and you'll get to a stinker skit where it's just like, ooh, let's just get through this one and get on to a funny
skit. I've noticed
skit.
Some of them are too long. Some of the skits there nowadays are like...
that just keep going for a while and you're like, okay, this one was not working to begin with. And now it's becoming even more and more obvious that it doesn't work the longer it drags on. That was this entire movie, where it just, there's nothing here that's working.
No.
Please just get this over with. Really horrible.
Yeah.
So
there it is.
So remakes. You were talking about the remake.
About Splash, and I don't know why. Most of the things I have on here have to do with remakes and sequels and things that people don't ask for. This brings me to the next point, Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
Totally bombs.
Totally bombed.
I don't remember if I said it on this show. I'm pretty sure I did, and you can go back and quote me. This isn't going to do well.
Yep.
Why can't anybody see this? Why can't a company say, gee, there's nothing that we can offer to this classic story that is still considered one of the greatest films of all time. There's nothing that we can offer here. Let's leave it alone.
Nothing's going
to
make this better.
Instead of putting $100 million into it, plus advertising costs, and then reaping $10 million your first weekend, and then I think it's gone. Like nobody's talking about it at all.
Star Trek Beyond. It's not a remake, but it's a sequel, another sequel. And everybody said it was really good.
Yeah, I heard
but it bombed.
I heard good things about it.
It didn't do well. I think maybe finally we're starting to see that.
Yeah.
Maybe this fatigue is finally setting in. Like, people don't just want the same things over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's getting to be too much.
That, I will see. I might as well say that Independence Day 2 also
bombed.
Tanked.
It bombed. Turtles 2.
Not,
it bombed.
Not really looking. I mean, nobody's asking for these things.
Yeah.
Nobody really. What else?
Did you see the trailer for Westworld?
No, I didn't.
It's an HBO series.
I saw one way back when they were doing something.
And I will say that this one does look at least interesting because it's not just the same film again.
Right.
They're taking that kind of concept and turning it into a series. And they're changing things a lot from what was in the film. And it's been quite a bit of time since Westworld was in the public eye, you know, a feature film. So in this case, I'm going to give this one a bit of a chance because we've had a lot of time distance and it's a different medium. It's a different take on it. I don't know. I'll at least give it a viewing or two.
There is something
intriguing.
There is something to revisiting something as a TV series.
Yeah.
Same
with you take a TV series and you revisit it as a film.
Right. And I think there's a little bit of leeway there. There's a different expectation, at least, if not a lower one, from film to TV anyway. And you can kind of expand upon, if anybody's seen Westworld, it's a really good movie. It's a Roger Corman movie. It's not Roger Corman.
I don't think so. I can't remember for sure, but I don't think so.
Well, it was kind of a B movie. I mean, yeah. It was some sort of a B movie. Really good movie, though, and there's a lot of possibilities for other things. So, yeah, 30 years later, revisit it as a TV show, maybe. I wasn't going to talk about this at all. I wasn't going to say it at all, but The Rocketeer. But
I'm surprised you're even bringing this up, because this is painful.
It's pain. I know.
It's
so if you guys, so if nobody's heard, okay, so Disney has been in, we've been talking about making a Rocketeer movie. Disney has been talking about making another Rocketeer movie for at least, what, the last decade or something? And fans of The Rocketeer have been wanting a new movie since the last one came out, because Cliff has several adventures, and there's been a comic book series with some other things. People want to see... Some people wanted to see Betty actually be the character if they were going to do a remake.
Michael Crichton. That's Westworld. I think that's what you're talking
about. Yes. Want to see Betty, like, actually, because it was Jenny in the movie, because they had legal issues and things. So all kinds of reasons to want this, okay? So Disney, in all of their agenda-pushing glory and decision-making, announces that they are indeed doing a new Rocketeer movie. It's going to be called The Rocketeers, and it's going to feature... They don't know anything about it. They don't really know what's going
to
happen.
That's the killer part to me.
Except that it's an African-American female in the lead, and she finds Cliff's rocket pack is like 6 years after or whatever.
And there's no story written or casting or anything like that. So you can't say it's not an agenda when your announcement is that it's a Rocketeer sequel featuring a young female African-American in the lead.
Right.
If we got there organically, if it was like we're writing this story, and this is how it's turning out, and this person is the best actress or actor for the role that we're playing, and we got there to a point where it became that thing, I'd be much more accepting. Even though I want... When I see it here, Rocketeer, I want the adventures of Cliff Secord. It's not interchangeable to me. Cliff Secord is the Rocketeer.
That's what people...
Exactly.
The dynamic,
just like Clark Kent is Superman.
It's a dynamic between him and Betty in that relationship.
That's the
whole
thing.
And him as a pop. Right, so...
That's the story to me. Right. It's his, and him and his relationships with those other characters. It's not about him flying around. That's secondary. It's how he gets there and his interactions with Betty and Peavy and all that stuff that make it what it is.
So... What bothers me, I think, most about... So this idea, I'm not even opposed to this idea. Because it's not The Rocketeer, it's a different character.
Yeah.
This would be good for a Disney Channel TV, a miniseries, a TV series, if they want to do that. What bothers me is, let's say that Disney has $50 million of Rocketeer money, or whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of giving the movie that... of the character that the fans know and love and have been clamoring for, that's what people want, they're going to put all their eggs, all that money, all that Rocketeer money, into this movie.
And when it fails,
and then it's not going to do very good, I'm sure. And we haven't seen anything from it, so maybe I'm wrong. But even if it does well, the chances probably of getting another one anytime soon are gone. Because you've blown all your Rocketeer money.
Yeah.
So the people who wanted Cliff Secord, the Rocketeer, don't get that.
Yep.
Because you wanted to do this other thing. Do the thing that everybody's asking for first, and then you can say, you know
spin-offs.
What? That was successful.
Yeah.
And now we've got a new movie called The Rocketeers.
We could spin this off into other characters and other mediums.
We got TV shows and we
other
got
things.
And that's great. That's how something is supposed to last. But
It also seemed like their whole press release seemed like a complete answer to one of the major complaints about Ghostbusters, the newer Ghostbusters, was that it wasn't a sequel and it was a reboot. And everybody was saying, I could accept this newer Ghostbusters if it was an actual sequel. And I would even accept the new team members if it was a sequel, if it showed the old members handing over to the new members and the old members were kind of involved. But in this one, they were like, oh, it's a sequel, but Cliff Secord's completely gone. He's been missing since after the war. And so this new character has to take over, and she's going to fight a mad scientist.
Right.
So it's not really a sequel, because you're not going to involve Cliff Secord as the Rocketeer.
Right.
And you're not going to involve Peavy in all likelihood, and you're not going to involve any of those characters that were set up before. You're just calling it a sequel in name only, when really you just want to make a new character and call her the Rocketeer.
It's a spinoff.
It's a spinoff.
But it's a spinoff of something 20 years, 25 years after
and
the
fact. And you're not
going
to, if it's a sequel to me involves those original characters integrally to the story. Like, Force Awakens, Han is pretty integral to that movie.
Yeah.
Luke is the driving force of the entire movie.
Right.
It's a sequel... Yes, but it also starts new things. This one feels like they're just saying, oh, well, these other guys, they're gone now. But it's the same universe. It's just all this stuff.
It's like they wanted. It's not a sequel. They wanted to make The Rocketeer, but they're doing. They're doing all the stuff that Marvel's doing, and yeah. I know Disney's tied into Marvel
anyway.
Oh,
totally.
So that's the other thing that bothers me. It's just an arbitrary...
These new, fresh, hip takes on the old
it's
characters.
It's an arbitrary change. I feel like it's insulting to minorities.
I think it's totally insulting.
If you don't agree with me, that's fine, but it's insulting to minorities because you don't... You have to take something that exists from somebody else and wrap... A minority in that package. How is that good for anybody? It's not good for anybody.
It's ridiculous.
Come up with a new character or something. I mean,
I'm never a big fan of in a visual medium changing the way a character looks.
Right.
I've never been. We've said this all along. Like if Black Panther was cast as a white guy, I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
But in some cases, and we've admitted this too, where if it's the best casting and it doesn't match quite visually with what it was before, then it'll work. In the new Spider-Man film, apparently the African-American actress is going to be playing Mary Jane. But they never went out of their way to say, guess what, everybody?
Yeah.
We're announcing this actress. That Mary Jane is going to be an African-American actress.
Right.
But it seems like this girl was cast based on her acting ability and what was best for the role. And that is working so much better for me
in my mind. She probably tried out.
Exactly.
Probably had some chemistry with the lead or something.
They immediately announced, we're looking for a young African-American actress to play Mary Jane in the new movie.
Right.
And that wasn't like the agenda selling point for the movie. They got there organically and just said, here's our cast. And I don't know if they've even still made the official announcement that she's Mary Jane or if it's just been kind of leaked over time that she's Mary Jane. And I like that so much better than... Oh well, this is what we want as the film. This is it. This is race matters on this thing. This is what we're going to push forward. It's like that's not fair. You're not even trying to do something that's best for the role, or you know, trying to find the best actor or actress out there for this character, this role, or what works well with the story. You don't even have a story. You just know right off the bat that's what you want to do. And that to me is silly, and it's
it's just replacing too.
It's just not right.
It's just replacing.
Yeah,
I mean, you're just taking from one thing. You're switching. So, I don't know. Just leave things be. But my point was, as a TV show, fine. Do a spinoff. Do a television series with this idea that you have. You want this aesthetic. You want a new rocket pack, a new helmet, whatever it's going to be. Although. They said that she's supposed to find Cliff's rocket pack in the helmet or whatever.
I don't even care because I probably won't see it.
Right.
Because to me, Rocketeer is always going to be Cliff's secret.
I know I'm not going to see it.
I mean, that's... It really would be like doing a Superman movie and saying, oh, well, it's actually this time going to be something that's completely not Clark Kent. He's been gone, and he's gone, and now somebody else is Superman that's not Superman.
Martian Manhunter doesn't get to come in and be Superman.
I wouldn't want to see that. I want to see Superman. I want to see Clark Kent. I want to see that movie. If I want to see a Superman movie. If I want to see a Rocketeer movie, I want to see Cliff Superman.
That's a little bit different. It's a little bit different with like something like comic books, where you have several different runs going. Or you've spanned like 50 years of, like Batman's been through several iterations and things, and they have different spinoffs, and you have the regular Batman is still going during that.
They would never do a Batman movie where it's not Bruce Wayne as Batman.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like in a movie, you're basically, you get one shot. I mean, even in a series, it's every 2 years probably you get a film if it's successful. But I just fear that this is not going to be successful at all. And once again, same thing with Ghostbusters, same thing with everything else. You have a core fan base. Those are the people that are going to be buying tickets, regardless of how it looks. If it was just looked like, well, I'm not sure about this, but this is the movie I've been asking for. This is Rocketeer.
Yep.
Those are the people who are going to buy tickets.
Yeah.
And you're snatching it out of their hands and you're saying, nice try. We're not doing it we're not doing it your way. And then
we're going to do it this way.
You're going to try and build a new audience? But you couldn't build a new audience back when that comic book was out, when it was fresh. That audience has built over the last 25, 30 years.
It's just very disrespectful to the fans of Cliff Secord and the fans of Peavy and those interrelationships to just say, oh, well, it's just a name and it's just a jetpack. It doesn't matter who you throw it on.
Right.
That's not the case. Like, people are attached to the things around it, and not just the idea of somebody that flies around. I would have no problem with a film about a young African-American girl that gets a rocket pack and does her thing and does these things. But please don't tell me that's the Rocketeer, because that's not what it is.
You're using somebody else's stuff to sell.
You're just using a name recognition to put it on something else, and you don't think that a storyline of a girl that learns to fly and has these things can carry it on its own weight. And that's kind of, I think, a disservice to, you know, that to young African American females to think that that wouldn't be accepted as a movie without using the name of some other character thrown on there. That to me is a disservice.
Also,
I don't think that's fair or right to say that we don't think you could carry it on your own. That's just not cool.
Right. Also, Betty is real integral in that whole story.
Read
the comics. I mean, it's almost just about it. It's about as much
Betty as it is Cliff. It really is.
And I know they changed the name in the movie.
But it's still her.
But it's her. She's got all the same attributes. Yep. So.
They only changed it because of legal reasons. Right. They don't want to get sued by Betty Page.
Okay, so I wasn't going to talk about that at all until...
But I just want to make it perfectly clear that we're both on the same page, where it's nowhere near a race thing or a female hero thing or anything like that. I'm in full support of young female heroes. I have a daughter, and I want her to have female heroes.
Yeah.
And I want there to be a good mix of ethnicities and races for everyone to see and everyone to have a hero. I just have a big problem with that being the announcement right off the bat and it taking the Rocketeer name and just pretending like all the other stuff of Rocketeer doesn't matter. That's just, as a Rocketeer fan, that's a disservice to me.
Yeah. It's lame. All right. You got something?
I do. Death of Gene Wilder.
I was gonna.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Of course, Willy Wonka. That's when everybody thinks of Blazing Saddles. I have very fond memories, though, of my dad taking me to see No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Oh.
Or I might have that backwards. It might be Hear No Evil, See No Evil. I can't remember. But him taking my sister and I to the Carousel Theater and watching that and just laughing so hard at that movie. And he and Richard Pryor just being this comedic duo that just worked.
Yeah.
And so it's a bummer, man. And I was reading this thing, this release from his family, where they were trying to say why he hadn't announced his Alzheimer's. And they said it wasn't out of vanity; it was that he didn't want that perceived in the public eye. So if a kid saw him with his parents, and they said, "There's Willy Wonka," and would come up, he didn't want then the parents to put a damper on that by saying, "Oh, he's sick and he's got this thing." He just wanted the kid to have that moment of seeing Willy Wonka without having this depressive state come over them, like, "Oh, he's not that, and he's sick, and he's these things." My goodness, that is totally.
I thought I heard him say
amazing.
That would mean that there'd be one less smile in the world.
Exactly, something to that effect.
That's a nice.
That's selfless. It's really
beautiful thing.
You know, a really cool way to go out to really keep the happiness going instead of people thinking of him as sick. So, big bummer.
That is sad.
Gene Wilder, cool, funny guy, real funny.
Cool, funny guy.
You got something?
Yeah. More looks at Power Ranger suits. I keep seeing this all the time.
It keeps being news. It seems like the same pictures
again. Now, Power Rangers have been going on secretly, apparently. Do you know anybody who's into it? Are there
kids
shows?
Are always into it.
Are there shows on?
Yep.
Wow.
It's just a constant cycle of Power Rangers.
Wow.
Yep. It's kept going, man.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm amazed.
I am too.
I mean,
I really am.
When that show came out, what was coming on at first, I was...
Well, we were a little too old for it.
Yeah, I was. A little too old.
It's that 7-8-year-old that really gets into it, and then they cycle through the next 7-8-year-old.
Yeah.
It just keeps going, and there's something about those costumes and the fighting the big, weird bad guys and stuff. The kids just eat up, man.
Well, anyway, they keep talking about the suits, and I don't know how many looks at the suits we can get before... There's nothing else to show. What is there to show?
To me, it's going to be silly if it's darkened up.
Yeah.
For the adults now that liked Power Rangers back in the early 90s, whenever it first came on, if they've then darkened it up, the original Power Rangers concept for that age group, that to me would be silly. And that's why it looks in the pictures. Like, all the pictures are dark. Yeah. They look very, like, Guyver.
Trying to reel it up.
Iron Man-y type suits. Yeah. I mean, they're neat designs and everything, but everything looks so dark so far and everything I've seen that I'm afraid it's going to be dark Power Rangers, and that to me is a dumb idea.
I don't know if there's a following. I guess it'll make money. It seems to be the only thing that keeps coming up. They keep talking about the suits and the
Power Ranger suits.
You don't have any more footage.
Here's the suits.
You don't have a trailer or
Here's
something.
A suit. We got the suit.
But what about the suit?
Have you seen the helmet?
They've got a helmet on. They put armor.
They got the whole suit
on top of the suit.
Maybe you haven't seen this pose. This is where they all stand.
Have you seen the one where they stand?
Have you seen the one where they're crouching? One of them's crouching.
The crouching tiger.
He's crouching down.
Hidden Power Ranger.
Yeah, he's got a. Have you seen the one where they turn to the other side? They're all turned to one side.
What about the one where the armor's all the different colors?
Have you seen it?
Have you seen that?
We did the same picture in black and white, and it didn't work as well, because you couldn't tell which ranger was which.
No.
So we went ahead and released it in color. Did you see it in color?
Have you ever seen armor?
Have you seen the armor on the Power Ranger armor?
Have you seen futuristic, techie-looking armor suits? They have colors.
I read this Roger Moore... you're still talking about the Power Rangers?
Well, no, this was leading into something else, but...
I read this Roger Moore, little post thing that was on Facebook the other day, where he was talking about there was talks about doing an Expendables-esque Bond movie that united all the Bonds. And the holdout is Sean Connery.
I think I just peed my pants.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
I would have to see it just to see all of them there.
Exactly. I wouldn't even care what the movie's like.
Right.
I
they could all be sitting around having crumpets
they
and tea.
They could all be hanging out and talking. I would want to see it if Connery got involved. Now, I don't know. I mean, it's Roger Moore. He could just be he could be crazy.
Maybe
he could
he
just
is
be
crazy.
Talking out of his butthole, and he has no really information on this whatsoever. There's never been an approach or whatever. Maybe all just dreaming in Roger Moore's world, but in a Roger Moore world,
a Moore world.
But it got me thinking. Like, wow, that could be really cool if. They admit that the James Bond name was just carried through different agents, and now they've brought all the agents together for some...
Man.
Either they're going after them for some revenge thing, or they've been brought together for some mission that needs them all, and they all have some kind of information. But to see all the Bonds together would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome.
And you only got so much time to do something like that before they start...
Roger Moore wasn't looking good when he was going out as Bond. Sean Connery, you haven't seen anything of...
He retired on Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen and hasn't done
anything
since.
He hasn't. Who knows if he's even
how he's doing? Yeah.
How he's doing? I would guess that he'd be the holdout.
Totally. He's.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one who's
he's
just
retired
been like,
and has always said, "I'm done with Bond."
Never say never, though.
Never say never again.
Again.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
That would be cool.
Now that could be the movie he should go out on.
That would be cool.
He should come back for one more time.
Come back.
Do one James Bond ultimate movie where it's all the Bonds.
He's the James Bond.
He's the one.
Roger Moore is someone's favorite James Bond.
He's somebody's favorite. It's not mine.
It's not mine. I know.
It's definitely not mine.
I know people.
He's pretty low on my list.
Yeah. He's the last.
He's probably the last. He and T. Dalt are fighting for the final spot. Actually, I don't really like Pierce Brosnan that much either. I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
So they're kind of the three of them are just hanging out.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Daniel Craig, George Lazenby, and Sean Connery are just over here like,
they're sitting in the top thinking,
we're doing okay over here.
Why is this so hard?
Lazenby's like, I was only here one time, and I'm still
I just
one
need
of these
the
top
one.
Three. I'm
I
over
just
here.
Need, I just need the one.
I'm over here with these guys. I'm going to hang out with these guys.
Yeah.
He's at the cool table.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you got?
I got, we're talking about Power Rangers, and now a Max Steel movie is being made.
Where does this come from? Where's this even, I can't even get in here.
I know that there's a Max Steel toy line. I didn't know that it was a thing or that anybody was interested or buying these toys.
Well, they had the old toy line where it was the 12-inch figures.
Right.
And they did a new toy line that was briefly on shelves. I remember seeing
it. It was obviously...
Like riding, a cyber-eyed...
It was riding on the Tron coattails. I mean, it just looked like a Tron suit.
And there's a movie.
And now they're doing a movie? I don't know.
I don't know anything about it.
Hasbro made Battleship.
Did they maybe make the movie and forgot about it?
Maybe they made the movie back
like,
a while back.
Oh, we still have that Max Steel movie.
Why don't we release this?
Put that out.
Yeah.
Why not put that out?
Maybe. I don't know. So, some kid might like it. I mean, if I was a kid and my mom rented it for me from Kroger Video Library, I'd spend an evening with it.
If I found a Max Steel toy at a yard sale,
And
I was like, I want to know more about this guy, and if I heard there was a movie, I would probably watch the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't think that's happening.
I don't think it's happening either.
Nobody wants to know more about Max Steel.
I don't know anything about him at all.
I don't think there is anything to know about him.
He's Max Steel.
I do have mixed feelings, though, because on one hand, I think at least they're doing their own thing. They come up with their own thing, and they're trying to...
It's not a sequel. It's not a remake.
They're trying to build a brand.
Yeah.
I just think Power Rangers already exists, and so does Guyver. I mean, you have a lot of other things. Do the Max Steel where he's got an interchangeable arm or something.
Yeah.
Like the old figurehead.
Yeah, those 12-inch figures had weird things going on. Yeah. He could do things.
He was an adventure man.
He was an adventure dude.
He was an adventure man.
He was like adventure teen.
Now he's a teen that finds...
Action teen.
That a robot finds a suit.
Want to know any more about it.
His dad made an energy suit.
I'll be honest, if you know anything about it, don't tell me, because I don't want to know any more about it.
I just said everything I know.
I tried to talk over you, so I wouldn't hear it.
I know, but that's it. Okay.
I've been watching some Netflix.
I know you have.
Did we talk about Stranger Things?
No.
It's been so long. Stranger Things was great.
I know you like that.
It was so good. I don't really have to talk about it on the show, because anybody that knows about Stranger Things
everybody's already watched it.
But it was great. They just put up the season 2 trailer that had, apparently, the names of the episodes during the trailer. Because they have these things pop up, these titles. And everybody thinks it's the names of the episodes. I don't know if that's confirmed or not. But if they can keep the quality of that first season, I can't wait. I think it was great.
Yeah.
I also watched all of Daredevil, season 1 and season 2. It was awesome.
You made it.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself that it took me this long to watch them all, because it was really, really good. Better than a lot of the Marvel films, because it really had the time to build something. And even though, like, Daredevil in the first season doesn't even get his Daredevil suit, really, until the final episode, I was cool with waiting for it. Like, it was such a nice build-up. In the second season, though, there was a lot going on. I don't think anything got slighted. I think Punisher had a good storyline, and The Hand, and Elektra. I think it was all really well handled. And I loved the second suit for Daredevil in the second season. Just great. I can't wait for more. I really, really liked it.
You'll get season 3.
I'll watch season 3 on Netflix. I'll watch the Punisher show.
I know you will.
On Netflix. I can't wait. Great Punisher.
You'll watch all of them.
Really great.
Yeah.
You know I love Dolph Lundgren.
I know you do.
And he's still... I can still say he's the best movie Punisher.
But that's...
I have no problem saying it, because this guy wasn't in a movie.
That's the movie. That guy wasn't in the movie. He was in a TV show.
So that's a difference. All right.
Man, real quick, the Mel Gibson movie Bloodfather, you saw the trailer for that?
I saw that. That looks pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you know it got released 2 weeks ago and just disappeared?
That's a shame. I remember when you and I went and saw... what's that one he was in? Heart of Darkness? What was it called?
No, Edge of Darkness.
Edge of Darkness.
That was good. That was great.
That was
great.
It was gone real fast, too. We had to get in there quick before it
They said it was a limited release on this. Just a few, like, a handful of theaters had it. They didn't really promote it. They released a trailer online, but there wasn't... Like, how is that fair? Mel Gibson is a solid actor, and...
He had his mistakes.
That movie looked pretty good.
He's been punished long enough now. Let's embrace the fact that Mel Gibson is a great actor.
With all the other things that celebrities in Hollywood are doing, I think it's kind of minuscule, you know, the trouble he got into is like, eh.
People are still buying Chris Brown records.
Yeah.
Look what he did.
What did he do?
He beat up Rihanna.
That's right, he beat up Rihanna.
He beat her up. People are still buying his records.
Yeah. People are still buying Rihanna records.
They're still buying the Rihanna record.
They're buying all
the Rihanna record.
So what are... So, people are buying Rihanna records.
Really, she's the victim here, so I don't know why we're saying about her being...
Well, I don't care for her music, that's why.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Okay, so that's... What time? Where are we at?
We're at 43 minutes already.
Oh, okay. So we got a little bit of time.
I got like three more things on
here.
Go
for it.
There's a documentary for Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2 called Cleaning Up the Town. And I watched the trailer for it. They've been working on it for 8 years, this documentary.
Oh, wow.
They have Harold Ramis interviews in there because they've been working on it for so long.
Right.
They're trying to get Bill Murray. They're trying to nail him down, but it's just not... It's getting closer and closer to deadline. And
he doesn't want
to
do it.
He said he would do it, but it's just a matter of getting Bill to sit down and do it. He's Bill Murray, and he just does whatever he wants to do. But I highly recommend you look up this trailer for Clean Up the Town. It looks like a great documentary.
Yeah.
And it just focuses on Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2. Nothing reboot. Nothing past that. I got a burp. Excuse me.
Off mic.
It looks really great. It looks like a really, really fun documentary. And I'm all for these documentaries on older films and seeing how they were made. And,
oh, yeah.
All the ingenuity and the creativity that went into, like, original concepts and bringing them into the big screen. So it looks awesome to me. So I highly recommend anybody looks up the trailer. They're also doing a crowdfunding thing on their website in order to maybe beef it up, like to make it, because right now I think it's just a standard 2 hour length, but they may beef it up to like a 4 hour.
Oh wow!
If they get enough crowdfunding behind it,
yeah,
it should be great.
Go for it.
I donated to it to get a DVD copy of it.
Yeah.
So check it out. You got something else?
Well, speaking of cool trailers for cool documentaries that haven't yet been made, there's a Conan documentary.
Oh yeah,
what's it called? Riddle of Steel, I think.
I think it is. Yeah,
what it's called. That looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
And they've got a bunch of people talking about it. The production quality is very high. I don't know when it's going to get released. That seems like something they've been working on for a long time too.
Yeah.
So that just
kudos
that's
on
reminded
them for,
me
for spending so much time on it, because there are a lot of documentaries that are, you can tell they were crapped out as fast as they could, you know, and even if a project takes a long time, you're waiting for a long time, that's good for the final product, you know?
Yeah.
They've been working on it for 8 years, that's why they have Harold Ramis footage still, you know, that nobody's seen yet.
Right.
And to just, they could have just thrown that out real quick right after he passed away and gone, oh, well, here it is, you know, instead they kept on working on it and hoping for more
patience
and more things. I think it's going to be great.
It's good.
The Rogue One product has been shown for the Star Wars Rogue One.
Okay,
film.
That's one thing on my list. Yeah.
You know the black. You know, okay. First of all, I want to say that I really like the way Hasbro interacts with the fan community.
Mm-hmm.
I run the Star Wars Black Series Facebook fan page. Me and Joe Amaro run it, and they're always very open to giving us information and pictures. They send out press releases. And oftentimes, they give us reveals on stuff. Like, these Rogue One figures, other than being leaked overseas, they weren't shown at any conventions or, you know, waiting for Toy Fair or San Diego Con. They sent us these pics and said, share them with your readers. You know, make this announcement with us. They went to fans and had to make a stop-motion film to help announce the line that fans have done stop-motion before. They went to fans over, you know, a lot of fans take really great pictures of figures, and they did this whole contest where they wanted people to come up with these pictures, and they posted them on their website. Just really great fan interaction. I mean, I'm really, kudos to them for that.
No.
I will say, though, that the product range, to me, seems a little light.
Yeah.
You know, it's one wave of Black Series figures, and then a smattering of the 5 points figures.
Right.
And the shelves have been barren for so long on new product that I expected more of a big launch, because we've been waiting for so long for all this product for something, whereas all this time we could have been having classic figures on the shelves,
right.
We could have had classic Black Series or prequel mixed Black Series or tons of stuff that could have been on the shelves for all this time, but it really feels like we had our Force Awakens stuff, and that's just kind of stuck on shelves for
and
a year now.
We didn't even get all of that.
We didn't even
get it all.
I saw that Rey one time.
Yeah,
I never saw a Han in the stores. I had to get him from the little shop down here.
Right.
So it's crazy to think that we went a whole year with basically the same product sitting on the shelves,
right.
And here we go, here's the next movie, and just here's the next movie product that's going to take over for
it. Just a couple little...
It's a Star Wars line.
Right.
It should be all of Star Wars.
What do they have, like... Well, yeah, they started off on the 5 points. We talked about it on here before. You know, I like it. That's what I was worried about. They get you going, they say, okay, we're doing all the characters you want
line.
From
you
classic
really
Star Wars...
It.
And now what? Where is it?
That's it.
That's it. I mean, I'm not gonna get integral characters.
No.
It crosses my mind sometimes that there's really just like 5 people working at Hasbro and they're taking care of everything.
Yeah.
And they just can't.
They just can't hack it.
They just can't
do it all.
They can't handle the workload.
I will say the Black Series line seems like it's handled a little bit better than the 3 3/4 line, in that there have been multiple waves of Black Series.
Yeah.
And I have been able to find most of them. The latest wave is a little tough to find with the Luke and the Kanan and Ahsoka. That's a little tougher to find, but it seems like they have cared about getting that into stores. With the 3 3/4 line, it's always been that the focus has been on that new film when the new film is out and in theaters.
Right.
And then in between films, it's been a good mix of previous films.
Right.
Even back to the original toy lines, the vintage toy lines,
right.
That you would get a glut of the new characters, and then you would get the older characters released on that newer
card
back. But this time around, it was just like, here's some Force Awakens stuff, and it's just going to sit on the shelves, and we're going to ignore all the other films, and now here's the Rogue One stuff. What happened to the Star Wars line? What happened to the all-over Star Wars line? that we were experiencing before. Now it just seems like you're only interested in making a few figures for the new film, and you don't care about the other Star Wars movies anymore. People still want toys from the other Star Wars movies.
Yeah, like I said, they started that line.
Yeah.
The Saga Legends line, and then
series.
Poof, gone.
That's gone.
They didn't have time, because they're too busy finally getting out an Owen figure from Jurassic World.
Yeah, that was a year past
that
the
was,
point.
Yeah, almost
that
a year after the movie came out.
I'm really concerned, too, that we're going to have Rogue One product, and it'll sit on the shelves until episode eight, I'm sorry.
Right.
That would be such a waste. You would have botched the biggest selling boys action figure line of the last 20 years.
Right.
You know, we've had the Star Wars line since 1995, and now you're just going to just throw out a few figures for every new movie and not really care about the fact that you have this line that's sold to collectors for so long. You're just going to, it's just a new movie line now. It's not an evergreen line. It's just based on the new movies. Weird.
It's a little bit weird. Their handling of several things has been weird. Jurassic World was weird.
Super weird. I don't know what happened there. That was so
weird.
It's
like, I like the things that they do when they do it, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Owen figure looks good.
I don't either. I mean, he's okay.
It's, yeah.
As a kid's figure.
But it doesn't tie into anything.
It doesn't.
Else that they put out for the movie, even.
Yeah, it was like they wanted a small scale at first, and then now he's a G.I. Joe scale.
Right.
It's, what? Why are you doing that?
It's very confusing.
It's so weird.
It's very confusing what they're doing.
It's very, very weird. Now they've lost that license, and Mattel picked it up.
I'm happy about that.
I am too. I'm not a big fan of Mattel product most of the time.
If they do those 7-inch figures like they had the
that would be
Ghostbusters,
terrible.
It'd be garbage. But
that'd be terrible.
But I'm okay with some of their smaller figures.
I'm interested to see what they do with it. They got to do a better job than Hasbro did. I mean, you could do just about anything.
All you had to do
job.
Was put something out.
Yeah.
And I mean, they didn't put anything
out.
Put out
the main character from the movie, and you'd be fine.
That's it.
What do you got? Anything else?
Well, I had one more thing, but it might be. A little bit.
6:30. It's 52 minutes now.
All right. Well, you posted something about the comic industry.
Yeah. That's a great read.
Die and crash and burn.
To summarize it very, very briefly,
yeah.
This writer has it taken to the point where it's, you know, comics are being constantly, the comic fan and the comic buyer is being blamed for comics not succeeding. Where it really should be the industry itself that takes the blame for the way they've now sold and market their books. They only sell them through comic shops.
Right.
They are not returnable. You're counting on the customer pre-ordering a book that they've never read, that they don't know anything about, when most of your books are not very good right now, but you're counting on the customer to tell the comic shop owner, I want this and I'm going to buy this, and then to follow through on that and not screw the comic shop out of the books you said, because there are many people that get files and then they never pick them up.
Right.
And so now we've ordered the books and now we have to sit on them, because in most cases books aren't returnable. But yet it's still the comic buyer and the comic shop's fault if a book fails.
Right.
It's not the industry's fault. And so he said that the thing we have to do is we got to let them fail. Like, that's the only way to fix this, is we tell the comic industry that this system isn't working anymore.
Right.
It's got to fail for them to then go, okay, it failed. We have to now figure out how we can make it work again.
Yeah.
And not just keep blaming comic buyers.
Yeah.
So that was the gist of it.
That was the gist. I thought it was a very good read. That's interesting.
It was great.
I was wondering what our listeners might think about the, you know, actually just letting something fail, letting something go away. I mean, comics are going to exist.
Yeah.
They're not going to, if the whole industry collapses, people are going to start generating comics again and finding creative ways to generate comics. He was talking about comics being sold in grocery stores and stuff.
I missed that so much.
That's how I got comics when I was a kid. I didn't have a close by comic shop to go to.
The comic shop was a special trip when I was a kid. Like,
right. It's gonna be
I could always go down the street to UDF and pick up a comic off the rack. Or I could go to Kroger when we were grocery shopping and get a comic. But my dad taking me to the comic shop was like a special trip for comics. And that was something that was like, oh, a real treat to go in there and see what else there is to offer. But now it's like the only way you can go get a comic is to go to the comic shop.
Right.
And I love comic shops. I mean, I help out at a comic shop, and I don't want my comic shop to die.
Sure.
That's not what I want
at all.
No. But there is a definite problem where it's just books are sold on hype. Books are sold on reboots. Books are sold on restarts. Books are sold on issue ones. Books are sold on crossover events. And they're no way, shape, or form sold as a person goes in the store, looks at a book, and thinks it looks good, and then leaves with that book.
Right.
It's there. That is few and far between that people pick up a book and buy it on its own merits.
Right.
Like, this looks like a fun read. Whereas a lot of my comic buying was just, here's a random issue of Detective Comics. This cover looks cool. I flipped through a few pages. This looks like a really fun read. I bought the comic.
Right.
That just doesn't happen.
And advertising, too. I mean,
yeah.
They're making all these changes to supposedly bring in a new crowd, but who's going to hear about that except for people that are already in comic book stores?
Nobody else is going to care. Occasionally, you'll get the news to pick up the fact that you're killing a character.
Right.
It's like, ooh, they're killing Captain America. Go in and buy that comic, and we'll see a glut of people that saw the news and go, how much is this going to be worth? Buy it, and they never come back.
Right.
So you got a big spike on that one issue, but now you've lost all the readers that were buying the book before because you've turned them away. You've sold a bunch of issues to guys that never coming back.
Right.
So it's just like, it's stunt after stunt after stunt. How long can that last? Right. Like, before you eventually have to go, you know what? How about we just write some good books? We market it to places where new readers can be brought in. Because, like you said, all they have is the old readers. I mean, once those guys are gone,
yeah.
I get my kids into comics, but there's no new comics I can even get them into. There's nothing interesting to them, for the most part,
right.
Other than, you know, Turtles animated. Little niche books that are coming from not the big two companies
right.
are really what we buy. And then I have to be the one to introduce them to them.
Right.
They don't know to go out and get them.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. I mean, there's not any advertising. A smaller company doesn't really have money to put into too much advertising.
Totally.
But
it's a shame. It's the same way with the film industry. And the other guy said, I feel the same way about the toy industry.
The video game industry, the one guy said.
That's what he said. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with it. Let things... Let them fail if they're not doing something right. Let it fail because these mediums aren't going away. I'm not afraid that if Hollywood crashes, that there aren't going to be any films anymore.
Yeah,
I'd be okay actually if there weren't. But somebody at some point will say, "I've got an idea," because they'll be missing it. Like something will fill that void.
Yeah,
and that's when Renaissance happens. And it's just not happening. Everything is so laden right now with just money making, like you said, it's stunt after stunt.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing you're doing in the movie industry.
Totally.
I can't speak about the video game industry because I'm not in it, but you know, I was curious. I wanted to mention it and be curious about what people thought.
I would love to hear what people think.
Are you okay with the idea of a brief, you know, what if Marvel and DC both implode and are just gone? Are you okay with that?
The only thing I would be really, truly worried about is the comic shops going away. Because I would miss having comic shops. And since they've made it now that comic shops are the only place to get comics.
Right.
And that would mean all comics are gone and the comic shops are shut down. And that I don't want to see, but sure. I do, there has to be something.
Well, do you think...
I would think making them returnable, making all books returnable, would be a good step in the right direction.
Because
that's what it used to be. They would sell hundreds of thousands of a book, and they would have to worry about it being good because they didn't want the returns from that. Now they're like, okay, well, we only need to sell 40,000 because we know they have to keep them.
Right.
We're going to get that money regardless. They can't return these books.
That was the other point from that guy, is that they're not really being held accountable.
No, they're
just
not.
They have automatic sales.
Yeah, it's
basically.
Like you're stuck with it. That's
right.
It doesn't matter how good or bad we make the book.
Right.
You're stuck with it. Occasionally, a book is returnable. There are special cases where it's like we're going to make this one returnable, and we up our numbers on those all the time.
Right.
We order as many as we feel we can because it's. And I'm saying we. I don't make those decisions.
Yeah.
But I help out there. But they go heavy on those books, and then they return the ones that don't sell. And a lot of times, it's a big chunk that goes back. That an overhyped book that wasn't that good is going to go back to them.
Right.
If all books were like that, then we could go heavy. The stacks used to be so big, man. 15 years ago, when I was pulling files, the stacks would be like 8 inches tall of a book of Superman or Spider-Man or something like that. And now it's just like a couple inches, like an inch or two of this book that we've got. It's just they dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And it's just amazing to me to see the numbers that there's books you're pulling now over what they were pulling before. And I don't know if it's the changes in returnability or what, but that would be a big step in the right direction. Just to have enough faith in their own product to go, all books are returnable.
Right.
If we don't do a good job, send them on back.
Right.
You know, and you'd see the comic shops up their numbers, and they might be able to sell more if the books were better. They wouldn't have to worry about sending them back.
Right.
But yeah, no accountability at Marvel or DC.
All of this at a time too, when comics are at the forefront.
They should be better than they ever are right now.
More than ever has been. I mean,
more exposed than any other time in history.
And it's more acceptable too for adults and stuff to be into such things and spend money there.
When you were a kid, did you go into like a department store and see adult T-shirts for superheroes? Other than when Batman 89 came out, there was no buying a Thor T-shirt at Walmart for an adult male in 1988.
Right.
Every place you go into now, every department store has tons of comic book T-shirts aimed at adult males, adult females, kids, everybody.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Right.
Everybody knows who Thor is now.
Right.
Everybody knows who Captain America is now. It should be totally the most prosperous time for the industry, and it's not.
Right.
Because the books are, for the most part, crap.
Right.
They really are.
Do you think a shop has no chance of surviving on classics, collectibles, back issues, and maybe some novelty items?
I just don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, that you got to keep that new stuff coming in.
Right.
Because those people do love that, people that are in it, and they're like, I've been buying this for so long, I'm going to keep buying this.
Right.
You know, that's a big part of it.
Sure.
And that they keep coming in. Even if they're coming in to look at what's happening, they might buy other things when they're in there. If there's nothing new, then it becomes tougher and tougher to compete with eBay. Or, you know, an online shop where you can go buy a trade paperback.
Right.
So it really does have to be that the new stuff has to get better for it to keep going. And there's no reason it shouldn't be better. Other than that most of the writers and the artists that are doing things nowadays are trying to, the same thing we got into before, there's a lot of times an agenda, or they want to make their mark on a character.
Right.
So they want to do something drastic and, I'm really going to change this thing up. And that's just silly. How about you just write a good story with good art, and that'll keep them coming.
Are they trying to put out too much?
Oh, I think it's definitely there's a lot of too much, because you see all these books, and it's like, why is this book even existing? Like, why is this book here? This makes no sense. I like Deadpool, but do we need Deadpool Mercs with the Mouth, Deadpool Spider-Man, Deadpool something else, and something else Deadpool? Do we need all those books, or can you maybe just have one good Deadpool book? And they've been guilty of that for years, where they see something successful and they add extra books on it.
Right.
But a lot of times when they added extra on, there were quality books. Like, both X-Men and Uncanny X-Men were really good books. And they sustained that because they were good books with good art. But now it's just like, here's more of this thing, and none of the quality is all that good, but here's a lot of them. Here's six different Spider-Man books, but none of them are really good. It's just, here's a bunch of crap. And you just pick the one you find is the least mediocre of the bunch, you know,
trying to appeal to too many different,
I don't know, it's
like with the toy lines, you know, they want to make a 6-inch line, they want to make an articulated 3 3/4, they want to make a 5.
Yeah, you're spreading it out too much.
Just put out the thing,
put out one good thing
and let people,
it was like that Star Trek,
they either like it or
Playmates.
They don't.
Playmates had, for the Star Trek reboot movie, they had the 12-inch scale, the 6-inch scale, and a 3 3/4 scale all at once, and none of them were all that good.
Right.
They could have put all that effort into making one good line and sold that one good line. Instead, they put out 3 mediocre lines, and nobody bought them.
Right.
And that movie is a hit. There's no reason the toy shouldn't have been a hit.
Right, there's no reason.
But nobody wants mediocre stuff. Don't give me more mediocre, give me one good. You know?
One good. If you like Deadpool, you'll pick up the Deadpool book.
You'll pick up the one good Deadpool book, and you'll look forward to it each time. Make it 2 times a month if you want, but make it good both those times a month, you know? Instead of putting out 5 of them that are okay, and one that's pretty good.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, all right, interesting.
That puts us in an hour. I had one more thing on here. Do you have anything else?
Go for it.
Real quick, sometimes when I go back to... I may have mentioned this. I don't think I said this in the last episode. I don't think I did. Did I mention going back to the old neighborhood with my kids?
I don't think so.
Okay. If I did, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself. I want to say real quick, too, to thank you to Dustin. He posted that really nice thing where he remembered the memory.
Yes.
And I've listened to us for all this time.
Yes.
And if you miss any listeners when we talk about how faithful listeners, I'm always sorry if I've missed your name. We appreciate every one of you. It pops in my head sometimes, like, oh, this person said something really nice.
Right.
Dustin said something really nice on Facebook about listening to us for so long, how much he enjoys it. So, appreciated that.
And he also appreciates Jor-El.
He appreciates Jor-El.
He knows about Jor-El.
He knows all about Jor-El. He keeps his skin really nice.
Yeah.
He really does. Okay, so I went back to my parents. I had to go back to my parents' neighborhood for something. I had to pick up something at my mom's. And when I'm in the car and I've got the boys, and Gracie too, but she doesn't interact yet because she's only two, they always love to drive around where I grew up and hear about like the different stores and different places I'd play and things like that. And I was just talking about all the things that we did as kids that don't happen now. Like there's no, I can't let my kids go out and just ride their bikes in a neighborhood because I don't trust a lot of neighborhoods. And I don't trust a lot of people that are out in that age. And you hear horrible things in the news. I'm sure it was just as bad when we were kids, but it wasn't so in the forefront all the time of how horrible things are and how terrible it is. I would never forgive myself if I sent my kids out to bike ride and they never came home, you know? So I talked a lot about stores. We would drive right past where old stores where I'd be like, oh, this is where Zehrs was. And I would get this toy here and I'd get this toy. This is where Gold Circle was and there was this big toy thing here. And this is where the Toys R Us was, and here's where Big Lots was, and I got these toys here, and Johnny's, and Children's Palace, and all these different places, just all these places we would go to as a kid, and just have a great time. My parents would go off and do their thing, and me and my sister would go, we'll be in the toy section, and just spending the entire time in there, just looking at all these great toys. And I just felt like this immediate, like, just sense of sadness that my kids will never have that. And kids will never have that again.
Yeah.
Like, those days are completely gone.
It's gone.
And there's no getting it back ever. I don't think that there's ever going to get back to a point of the 80s into the early 90s of how the industry was.
No.
And it's just really, really sad. Like, it made me really sad. Like, I want that so bad for them because I remember how much fun I had doing it as a kid. Just spending all that time thinking about what was in those toy stores and going in and reading the sales ads as they came in and being excited about finding something new on the shelf, and all those times are just gone, dude. They're just gone.
They're gone.
It just sucks.
It does. You're forced to find different things and new ways for your kids to be excited about different things.
It really just sucks that it's taken away from them because of how things have changed over the years and just like the way industry changes and the advent of online shopping and the collector market, which I think is a big part of what's killed a lot of fun, interesting toys for kids. It just really stinks.
It does.
It really, really stinks. So if you have good memories of those times as a kid, hold on to those. You know, tell your kids about them so that we can know, you know, that it wasn't always as cruddy as it is nowadays. I would love to hear some memories from people of toy stores, like what their favorite places to get toys were in the 80s and 90s, 70s.
I like to see photographs. Every once in a while you come, across a photograph from an old toy store and...
It takes me right back.
Yeah.
Like, when I see those photos, I really think back to those times. Like, I'm, like, 7 years old again. I'm 8 years old again seeing those pegs and just digging through those giant pegged walls of figures and just rummaging through them, and they're everywhere. Just, man, and the aisle seems so huge. It just went up and up and up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I truly miss it.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Truly, truly miss those times. There's no getting it back. All right, so that's a down note to end it on, right?
Well, I guess.
Way to end it on a down note.
I'm trying to think of a way to turn it positive.
There's no way to turn that positive.
There's... You have to accept change. I have a hard time. I have a hard time with it myself.
But I'll eat one of these Snickers minis.
Let me tell you something. Those are not that good. And
are they stale?
They're not stale. They're just... Just every snack, it's like every manufacturer says, we know that this batch is going to the Dollar Tree. It is what
They've got their worst workers on it.
You got the, yeah.
They got their trainees.
Quality control's lower. They got the last batch of the chocolate. They scraped the chocolate out of the bottom of the...
There is no bite or crunch or snap to these peanuts at all.
No, they're just not going
They're completely mushy.
Yeah.
They knew it.
They knew it was going to be that way. I've never had a bad Snickers before.
We got in a batch of really mushy nuts. Make those for the Dollar Tree. Just put those in the Dollar Tree
bag. Put those in the Dollar Tree bag.
Those in the Dollar Tree. Take the mushy nuts, stick them in the Dollar Tree. Mushy nuts. Mushy nuts. These nuts are completely spongy. There's no snapback at all to him.
Snapback. One in the hand is worth two of the tree. The Dollar Tree.
I'm making minimal effort on chewing up these nuts. I like to have to work for it. These are just going right down.
They've absorbed the nugget.
It's still clean. We're just talking about Snickers. That's all.
Just talking about the ingredients of a Snicker bar.
Wow. Yeah, those are good.
Not very good.
No, those aren't very good.
Nothing here is worth more than a dollar.
That tastes like old Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Something's been there way too long.
That's what the problem is.
Yeah. It's old Halloween candy right there.
Yeah.
Stuff that you still have sitting around the house in December, and you're like, there's nothing else here.
You have some.
I'm going to have one. And you knew immediately that was a mistake.
It's not good.
Yep.
Dollar Tree.
All right.
Mike and James, action features. We're back, baby.